Three, two, one, roll the footage. Where there is risk, there is opportunity. Two sides of one coin. I have asked Scott Griffith to come and explore with us both sides, how to model risks, understand risks, manage risks, and how to, of course, leverage the opportunities on the other side. I'm glad that he had time to be with us. Welcome everyone, Scott Griffith. Scott, tell us about, tell us about yourself and your freshly printed book.
Well, thank you for having me, Simon, and I'm pleased to be here. My name is Scott Griffith. The name of my book is The Leader's Guide to Managing Risk, a proven method to build resilience and reliability.
So relevant right now. Each part, resilience, reliability, risk. Let's unpack all those three things. Why did you choose those topics and how do they play out right now?
So my career started in the aviation sector, aerospace sector. And when I started my career as a pilot, risk was keeping the airplane from crashing, which is something that I think everybody can relate to. But as I progressed in my career, I learned that the things that organizations and businesses do to be safe can also be applied in other areas. So when you start a business or when you're engaged in entrepreneurship, you're looking to manage risk. But as you pointed out in your introduction, with risk comes opportunity, and you can't have one without the other. So I wanted to write the book to describe proven strategies that are scientifically based that can help an organization be better at what they do, that is being safe, achieving higher revenues, protecting customer privacy, and all the things that we value in our businesses.
Literally today, I was double checking, hey, Simon, what is your savings rate? And I wanted to see it in percentage, and I have a spreadsheet. And I have a number that's my minimum. It's 30% every month. And I literally double check it. There is no immediate urgent reason to have a savings rate above 30% as a human being, as a household, right? But to me, this is important risk management because in 6 months, in 12 months, in 10 years, in 20 years, I can leverage opportunities if I do this right now. Is that risk management? How did you approach the topic?
Well, yeah, of course it is. And so what you just described is a strategy, which might be termed a system. So what I've learned over the years is that the world around us, and this is a very technical, geeky term, Simon, but it's a scientific term, that the world is socio-technical. Meaning that we are people, the socio, and the technical part of it is the systems, the technology, the environment that we create. So if I'm trying to lose weight, for example, I can follow a diet, but there are thousands of diets out there available. So you might say a diet is a system. Mm-hmm. And now how I perform inside that system will depend upon me and my behavior. So your saving strategy is a good one. And I would assume, Simon, that your saving strategy is for the long term. So you're looking for the amount of money and revenue that you can bring into a savings plan. And it's the total area under the curve over an extended period of time. It's not wise to go rush out for high returns short term if that poses untenable risk in the long term. So whether you're looking for retirement savings or looking to invest in property or other aspects of a business, your strategy, your saving strategy should be aligned with your tolerance for risk and your long-term goals.
What was your process of finding out what are the proven risk management systems? Is there a science there? How did you research?
There's a blended science, and it's a quirky story. I was trained in college as a physicist, and I was also an airline pilot. And in 1985, I was walking around an airplane from Dallas, Texas, to fly to New York for American Airlines. And I looked up in the sky and I saw another airplane coming in, and it was in distress. And the plane got too low on landing, struck a car on a highway, bounced up, and then the left wing of the aircraft struck an above ground water tank or tower, and the airplane crashed. And it was a horrific event that affected me greatly. It turns out that accident was caused by an invisible wind field known as a microburst. And up till that time in aviation, the airline industry had not recognized the dangers of that particular phenomenon. So I took a leave of absence from the airline and went to work for NASA as a physicist developing a laser system to look ahead of the aircraft. It was called LIDAR. You may be familiar with the term LIDAR. They use those in lots of areas today. Autonomous vehicles, for example, use their sensors. But we developed a technology that could sense ahead of the airplane in clear air. Prior to that, radar, these microbursts were typically invisible on radar. So that metaphor to me was, we can only manage what we see and understand ahead of us, whether it's a pilot flying a plane, or a physician treating a patient, or a CEO or a manager running a business. If we don't see and understand the risks ahead of us, nothing we do with our systems, nothing we do with our behavior will get us to a safe landing. So it became a blended science of system engineering, understanding systems, understanding the way people behave and act, human psychology, and even neuroscience, the science of the human brain, mm-hmm. and also a discipline from our legal systems. And whether you work in a system in the US or a system in Europe, the legal systems around us influence how we hold people to account or how we manage human behavior. And those systems, those legal systems, penetrate into the work environment in the form of rules, policies, regulations. Typically, big companies have human resources departments. And those rules and regulations are designed to keep you safe and compliant with the law, but they don't always do a good job of managing risk. They become mm-hmm. what we call very outcome biased. So that blended science of system engineering, human psychology or human behavior, and the law comes together, three different disciplines, to help us manage, see, understand, and manage risk more effectively.
I used to teach strategic management in St. Gallen, and one of my modules was implicit and explicit controls. So how can you build in things that pop up on their own and that have people self-regulate and be incentivized to take the right decisions and to push up signals, risk signals early, versus having mechanisms from the outside that sometimes have a lag or create a culture where people don't look at risks? So how do you instill that accountability to look at risk so that risk management becomes something that everybody looks for and feels responsible for?
Wow. So, I mean, that's one of the best questions I've heard in quite some time. What we typically do in most businesses is we reward outcomes. We reward results. But if your business, particularly if you're in what we call a high consequence sector like aviation or healthcare or nuclear power, it's very dangerous to reward results without examining the systems and the behaviors that produce those results. So if your goal in a business is to be successful for the long term, First, you must recognize in your business what's necessary for your survival and how can you become reliable. So as an example, when Mark Zuckerberg created a little platform called Facebook years ago, he wasn't thinking about protecting people's privacy. He was trying to create something new and exciting, which he did. Years later, the US government fined Facebook for not recognizing that they were harming people by not protecting their privacy. So these types of threats can put people and organizations out of business. So your answer, I think, my answer to your question is, for any business, we must look to what is needed for our success. Mm-hmm. What are we good at doing if we make a product or deliver a service? What are we good at doing? But what can go wrong in that process? So we must look equally to risk and opportunities. Then we incentivize people to get results the right way, not just rewarding great. We can get great results with risky behaviors. And if we reward that, the employees will continue to engage in those risk-taking behaviors. We saw that in the U.S. in the 12, 14 years ago in the financial collapse, mm-hmm. where we had very risky financial instruments being mm-hmm. pushed out by the public. Yeah. And of course, there was a collapse in the housing market for a short period of time.
I heard today the CEO and founder of Oaktree Capital, and he said, our fund stands for defense. So we will be measured over 10 years, not over 2 years, because we protect the downside. So our good decisions, you don't see them in bull markets. Everybody will make some money in bull markets. But in bear markets, we will have lower losses than everybody else. So when you measure us in 10 years, long cycle, we will have higher returns over 10 years, but our portfolio managers will not be applauded by anybody, because in bull market, they do slightly less than everybody else, but we protect them because we want their decisions to be around the risk side, the downside. Is that an example of such a mechanism?
That's a good example. As we said earlier, it's the total area under the curve. And you can be great today and out of business tomorrow if you don't see the risk in front of you. And most organizations don't measure risk, they measure results. So yes. if we shift that paradigm to say, let's look at both. We're looking for long-term results and we assess the risk. Now, every financial investment in the US, and I would assume it's the same way in Vienna and all over Europe, Simon, is the investors will tell you past performance is not a guarantee of future success. Mm-hmm. So that's true in life. We as human beings, as takes us down to the personal level, we engage in risky behavior every day, you and I. Mm-hmm. We stand on the top rung of a ladder, or we drive over the speed limit, or we may drink one glass of wine and drive the car. We think we're in a safe place, mm-hmm. but over time, all of those risks that we take can add up to an accident waiting to happen. So understanding that, the human brain says, if I do something risky and I get a positive result, the brain says, okay, nothing bad will happen to me. It never has. That's a dangerous way to live our lives. And it's a dangerous way to run a business.
And you say most people don't quantify, don't measure risk. And I agree, for example, me too, because I wouldn't know how to calculate that. For example, what's my biggest risk as a small business owner? Number one, that I give up too early. So burnout is one risk. Another risk is that my pipeline dries up. So that one, I know how to calculate. It's pipeline estimation number in weekly cycles, projected forward, moving average, and the inputs, having the inputs per week. So what are the activities that will create sales opportunities? But burnout or giving up, I don't know how to quantify that, how to calculate that.
So burnout is a very fascinating topic, and all of this relates to what businesses across the world experienced during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, by the way, the last time we had a pandemic of that magnitude was roughly 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So in any business, the things that happen during the pandemic, supply chain disruptions, employee burnout, businesses went out of business. Mm-hmm. Some businesses actually did quite well because they were able to be resilient, or they provided something that the world needed. Mm-hmm. But burnout can exist through external forces like the pandemic, or changing market conditions. The public shifts from, we saw this, for example, in the digital revolution. There was a company in the U.S. called Blockbuster that provided, you know, brick and mortar stores with DVDs and VHS tapes. Well, you don't hear about Blockbuster today because now the dominant platforms are streaming platforms. Correct. Tomorrow, with AI, the whole streaming industry is being revolutionized because of the potential for artificial intelligence. So, but burnout at the human level can come from external, or it can come from internal. So a lot of times we get burned out because we don't pay attention to our mental health or to our work-life balance. Those are internal, sometimes things that we can control. But the dominant contributors in burnout come from external. The conditions within the company, the working conditions, the environment, the things we're asked to do, especially if you're in a service industry that's facing outward to the public, the pressures on employees has risen during and after the pandemic.
Like right now, I can't control my camera, but most people are listening to this anyway, so they won't even recognize it. So of the four strategic advantages, brand, community, switching costs, pricing power, which one is your moat, your strongest one?
For my company or mm-hmm. for my...
Your company.
For my company, brand is everything mm-hmm. because I have a very small company with a very large objective. And that is, we have written a set of standards that make organizations highly reliable. And we believe this is a universal standard. It works in high consequence industries, as I mentioned before, like aviation mm-hmm. and healthcare and law enforcement and nuclear power. It also works in any business that has a product or service. Mm-hmm. We believe this standard makes organizations more reliable. And it starts with something we call collaborative just culture, mm-hmm. which means we bring people together, working management and labor forces working together for the good of the company. So that standard has started to become recognized in the U.S. And we have worked with an external partner that comes and it independently audits it. And they are a global audit organization called DNV. They're based in Norway. They audit externally to quality principles. So we go in and help organizations become more reliable as consultants. And then this company DNV comes in and does an external independent audit. So our brand is built on collaborative high reliability and collaborative just culture.
I love this. And which one is your highest risk of those four? Brand is the strongest. What is your highest risk and how do you manage that?
I think our highest risk, which, you know, we are a niche company. We do something very specialized. Our biggest risk is a lack of public awareness of what we do. So I think in our area, marketing is a key driver for sales for us. Mm-hmm. You talked about a sales pipeline. Mm-hmm. So my risk is that we give great detail, care, and attention to our current clients. But if that's all we do, if we're not out there marketing what the standards are, then the sales pipeline won't grow. So for me, it's being able to get our brand in front of the right organizations, the right people.
That's what I hear a lot from small teams. Hey, I'm solving my clients' problems, but when do I solve my problem? Like pipeline steadiness, pipeline repeatability, pipeline maybe even automation or de-risking the pipeline.
Absolutely.
Who are your ideal collaboration partners?
Well, we work with some of the best in the world at what they do. So we have connected in healthcare. We work with the Harvard hospitals here in the U.S. It's called Mass General Brigham. We have a great hospital in South Florida, Tampa General Hospital. We work with a global emergency medical services company. So those are our clients, but our partners are, as I mentioned, DNV, which is completely independent of us as a business, because we don't want to have an auditor with any conflicts. So they have become a great independent partner with us because they do what they do extremely well. We also partner with regulators across the world because what we found is that any industry where regulation is important, a regulator has a powerful influence on the way businesses are run. So we love working with regulators, and we also work very well with labor associations and labor unions. So those groups are part of the collaborative style that we engage in anytime we go in and work with a new sector.
And now to my favorite part, you as a person, after one word from our sponsors. What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com. What makes you happy as a dog?
Well, dogs make me happy to start with. I love animals and I love seeing my children play with animals. But what makes me most happy in my professional life is working with organizations outside of my experience, teaching them our methods of reliability, and seeing them take those concepts and apply them in ways that I would not have been able to do on my own. So people that see this work, understand the science, apply it in their business, and the report back that they have gotten amazing results. That makes me very happy, Simon.
What are you doing to supercharge your relationships?
Well, our collaboration partners are vital to our business. And so, as we spoke earlier, we're not looking for only getting short-term returns. We're looking for short-term returns that can be sustained over time. So to do that, we recognize that we need collaboration partners like DNV, regulators, and labor associations. When we work together, we see amazing results. You've heard the expression that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's our philosophy when we go in and start working with an organization.
And who do you envy and why?
I envy people who have the confidence to stay on course with their business, where they see others or competitors following every trend that comes up. But the long-term successful businesses that know who they are, they know what their brand identity is, they do what they do extremely well, and they know how to protect their assets against external disruptions. Those are the companies that I admire. Individually, I admired a scientist named Richard Feynman. He's one of my heroes, but he was a pioneer in the field of physics, and he's one of my personal heroes.
Oh, absolutely. We love him also, absolutely. And what's your favorite book from him or lecture or?
Well, you might see in the back of my office here, I have his Feynman lectures. And what he did at Caltech University was he taught a series of freshman physics classes at a very high level in a way that anyone could understand. So he had a bet with a friend of his that he could teach quantum electrodynamics to freshman students. And this series of lectures did. And he looked at the world in a very unique way. So I admire that.
A wonderful example for how to use the scientific method like anywhere, right? And exactly. How to tackle really big, big problems. Your book is called The Leader's Guide to Managing Risk, a proven method to build resilience and reliability. It just came out with HarperCollins. Where can we grab the book? Where can we be part of your journey?
Well, you can find the book just about on any of the major bookseller platforms. You can go to my author website at theleadersguidetomanagingrisk.com, or you can go to my business website at sgcpartners.com, or you can just Google the name K. Scott Griffin.
And if we want to be less risk averse and more risk intelligent, how can we work with you?
Well, you can contact me and we'll have a conversation about who you are, what your business does, and how we can help. We like to say that we started our business in the field of high consequence industries. High consequence meaning when things go wrong, they can go wrong catastrophically. But today, I have come to believe that every business is high consequence. Mm-hmm. It's high consequence for the owners, the employees, and the shareholders. So we have found that our methods and our scientific approach can work for any business regardless of the industry. So I would welcome a conversation if you're interested in how we can make your business more reliable.
I love this. And what's your favorite social media or website where we should go?
Well, you can go to our platform at sgcpartners.com. We're constantly changing the information we have there. We have built a learning management system that's very exciting with hundreds of very short videos that people can learn about our methods. But I also follow others on LinkedIn and different platforms out there. I even go so far as to watch TikTok. There are some amazing videos on several of these social media platforms.
Thank you, Scott, for being on the show. And everybody, Scott Griffith, everyone, The Leader's Guide to Managing Risk, a proven method to build resilience and reliability with HarperCollins 2023. Thank you, Scott, for being on the show. Please come back soon.
My pleasure, Simon. You're a very skilled interviewer. I've had a lot of fun today. Thank you.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.